From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Diversify holding on to the lead. Keen Ice on the outside and Pavel trying to run him down. Diversify digs in. Keen Ice on the outside and Pavel can't get him. Diversify has won the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
And the whip coming out here from Edgar Pato, just a tap there on Miss Temple City. And she comes to the front. And the decorated Grade 1 winner's got the lead from Zipessa. Zipessa stretching her. But Miss Temple City, her class prevails. And she wins the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Mumtahij is the leader. Win the space, Midnight Storm, Cupid battling home. But Mumtahij is a globalized class act. He wins the awesome again.
Mike Smith getting all from West Coast as he clings to the lead from Gunavera. IRAP is third on the inside. Taprit is fourth. It is West Coast, and he keeps on rolling. And West Coast goes wire to wire in the Travers.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron, Mike Penna. I am at Long Shots in Aqueduct Racetrack down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios is my Friday night tag team partner on the Weekend Stakes Preview, the one and only Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and our producer, Lee Delapina. Jude, woke up this morning?
Yes, I did.
Most people would say got myself a gun from The Sopranos, but I woke up this morning and my car was frozen. Windshield frozen. Couldn't really get into the car. I don't know. It wasn't that cold. I don't know what happened overnight, but it was a. It's been a wild morning, to say the least, here at the Big A.
Yes, it's been kind of wild here at the studio. As far as my car was concerned, I put it in the carport and didn't, of course, have any frost or anything. But the rest of the cars at Lakeshore Village were absolutely clean. It's a beautiful day here. In the bluegrass. I mean, the sky is blue. The lake looked great on the way over here. I mean, it's just gorgeous. And not too cold, really. I mean, cold, but not super cold. It was like 56 last night. And I don't think it's, much colder than that now. So it's going to be a beautiful day.
There's no 56 around. It's in the 40s this morning, but it's absolutely beautiful out. Great, really great racing weather. And, you know, Thanksgiving weekend's always been a big deal across the country for racing, but especially here in New York. And the landscape's a little different now. No more Holiday Fest races with the Cigar Mile and the Gulf of Juan and the 2 2-year-old races, the Demoiselle for the ladies and the Remsen, of course, for the young men. But still been a great weekend of racing. They got 3 stakes here at Aqueduct today. And, you know, we'll talk to Andrew Burns later on about how the landscape has changed here a little bit and how it's really helped get some Breeders' Cup runners. But, yeah, this, I mean, really a great day, a great November day especially, to come on out to the races and just enjoy the day.
Yeah, I was talking about that the other day. It seems like climate change has done a nice favor for racing fans this winter. We've been able to have a lot of turf racing, which usually by now most turf courses are buttoned up.
Yeah.
And so that's always a plus because I love the grass races. And then, haven't been a lot of off tracks or that kind of thing. I know you guys had a cancellation, but that was mostly wind, right?
Yeah, that was closing day. We had 2 cancellations, closing day at Belmont and then I think it was last Sunday. Yeah, but yeah, that was, you know, I tweeted out. I was home for the day last Sunday and went to go bring the actually got off my lazy butt for once and went to go bring the garbage pails in and literally had my cell phone blow out of my hand.
Wow.
Like, that's how windy it was last Sunday. I was too chicken to actually post this, but I actually went outside to try to have a cigar at one point. And when the cigar blew out of my mouth twice, and burned down to nothing. You're a cigar smoker, so you know. Like, I took maybe 5 puffs, and a third of the cigar was gone.
Wow.
The wind was just chewing it. This is futile. I got to get in there. This is just get back inside. So, yeah, but otherwise, the weather has just been, it's been, we didn't really have a, I actually complained over at Belmont, you know, my favorite meet of the year is the fall championship meet. I actually complained about the fact that there was no fall. It was in the high 70s, mid 70s all time, the whole time we were at Belmont. I think I had one fall like weekend. So, and yeah, a knucklehead like me would complain about beautiful weather, but you know, I like when the leaves start to fall and there's a little chill in the air, and we just haven't had that. But like you said, the only state that's really been affected, and there were some problems with a couple of courses in Pennsylvania, the turf racing's been done for a while, but for the that was not weather related. For the most part, the weather has just allowed all of these racetracks that normally would start to lean a lot more heavily, if not solely on dirt racing, to keep their courses open. And now we have two here at Aqueduct, so it's been even better.
Yeah, definitely. It's really fun to enjoy those races, and we've got some more today. We've got a couple of turf stakes today at Aqueduct, which is great.
Yeah, a couple of new turf stakes as well. Like I said, talked to Andrew in just a little bit. Andrew Burns, the stakes coordinator here at NIRA for many, many years. Andrew's a good friend, and he pops on. You and I usually do this show right before the show before the Cigar Mile together. Mike's usually on vacation, and I try to have Andrew on because they just do such a great job. And then this year especially, adding these two turf stakes is – these two turf stakes you know, the landscape has switched a little bit here, has changed here. So we'll talk to Andrew. We'll talk to trainer Brad Cox, who, in all likelihood, unless something crazy happens in the next 2 days, Churchill Downs, he will be the he'll be the leading trainer for this fall meeting. He has Monomoy Girl as the 8-5 morning line favorite in the Rags to Riches. He has a long shot in the KJC as well. A couple of big 2-year-old stakes on Stars for Tomorrow, 2-card down to Churchill today. We'll talk to Brad a little bit later on. A good friend of ours, Jude, and a guy that it's just been a remarkable season for him. Comeback Jockey of the Year, it was announced earlier this week, the JockeyTalk360.com Comeback Jockey of the Year Award went to our buddy Rajiv Miraj, and he'll kick off hour two to talk about what he's come back from. And man, what a great story, huh?
Yeah, it's fantastic. He went through a lot. We've had him on Express Bet Radio during the week and stuff, and some people may know his story, but when you think about it and when you live through it like we did with him and see the struggles and the mental anguish part of coming back, you know, it's really fantastic, and he's such a great guy and somebody that really deserved this award.
We'll talk to Rajiv again. He'll kick off hour two. My David Letterman moment, the first David Letterman moment of my career. If you guys remember when David Letterman was on the air, he used to have he's a big Formula One fan. So he used to have the Indianapolis 500 winner on the show every year. And obviously that's kind of hard to predict. And he'd have to wait for the result. Well, that's what we had to do with the Clark yesterday. We had to wait to see who was going to come out victorious. It was Seeking the Soul. So we get trainer Dallas Stewart, who's had a pretty phenomenal November along with his owner, Charles Fipke. So we'll have Dallas coming on later on to talk about Seeking the Soul, Forever Unbridled, and just how the entire month and year has gone over at the Stewart Bard. And then we'll go out to the West Coast. They're going to wrap Del Mar's Bing Crosby meet, the first ever one to host a Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. Trainer Phil D'Amato has his hands all over the 6 stakes races out where the turf meets the surf this weekend. We'll focus on today, maybe talk a little bit about one of Jude's favorite horses, Hunt, who's going to run in the Seabiscuit tomorrow. So we'll have trainer Phil D'Amato on as well. Loaded Saturday morning program, Pontiff.
Yeah, it's great. It's a very good weekend for racing, and yeah, the races at Del Mar have just been outstanding. I think Rajiv's riding there tomorrow too, right?
Yeah, Thundering Sky for George Weaver. They won a stakes race up at Saratoga. And then they ran second. I don't remember what race she ran second in, but she ran second last time. So Raj will head out there tomorrow to try to pilot another winner. He got his grade one win. He got his first grade one win since coming back with By the Moon in the Ballerina up at the Old Spa this year. So, really looking forward to talking to Rajiv later on. All of our guests, an action-packed Equine Forum this morning. We'll take a break. And when we come back, We'll talk to the NYRA Stakes Coordinator, Andrew Burns, about this weekend's stakes and, of course, next weekend's four, led by the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in the heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Attention horsemen, the 2017 Iowa Stallion Auction takes place December 2nd through the 9th, with all monies raised used to fund three stakes races, which had total purses of nearly $219,000 this year. The auction is the only stallion auction where the donator of the stallion season is eligible to receive a $5,000 per race bonus. All foals born in 2019, regardless of what state they're foaled in, are eligible to nominate. Make your stallion donation now at iowathoroughbred.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Practical Joke rides the rail to the top of the stretch to Cuffle. Turning for home in front, Practical Joke has made a strong inside bid. He's up into second, and he's running after to Cuffle with a furlong to run. Practical Joke has taken the lead. To Cuffle is back into second, then American Anthem, Tale of Silence, and Cold Front. It is Practical Joke in the Allen Jerkins. He won it by a length and a half. To Cuffle was second, and then American Anthem, and a photo with Tale of Silence. The final time was 1 minute 21.96 seconds.
Practical Joke will look for the third Grade 1 victory of his career when he takes on what will likely be a field of 10 in the Grade 1 Cigar Mile next Saturday here at Aqueduct. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. I'm the Big A sitting in for the Baron, Mike Penna, joined, of course, as always, by the Pontiff, Jude Feld, as we go out to the guest line. And a guy that you've seen here, if you've been through the racing office at Aqueduct or Belmont or Saratoga in the last, 20 years, you see him sitting towards the back with his Met cap on, more often than not, his orange and blue, as he wears it proudly throughout the year, the stakes coordinator here at the New York Racing Association, Andrew Burns. Andrew, it's Anthony and Jude. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Anthony, Jude, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks for that nice introduction, Anthony. You know, a lot
you
of people
it,
probably saying that guy should have his head examined.
What the? Because of the Met hat? We absolutely should have our heads examined.
Exactly.
Because of the Met hat. We should.
Are you a Twitter guy?
I'm not a Twitter guy.
No?
No, not at all.
Do you know Eric Zimney?
What's that?
Do you know Eric Zimney?
No, I don't. Is he another suffering Met fan? Too?
Well, yes. He posted a picture. He was down in Turks and Caicos, and Eric, of course, runs the racing down there at.
He's a Charlestown. He's a Charlestown.
Charlestown.
Guy. He's
a great guy, and he loves the game. He's at all the big races, and so he goes down there with Larry Colmus to do a charity function in Turks and Caicos. So he wants to ride a jet ski. So he goes to get a jet ski, and who's there but Thor and his girlfriend? And the guy says, "I'm going to put you with two other people today," and he's wearing his Mets t-shirt, you know.
He had a seven-line shirt on. It was unbelievable.
So, talk about a setup, right? I mean, he was in his glory, and it was pretty cool.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That is. Yeah, but Anthony and I, we're diehards. We go through thick and thin. You know what I mean? We can't give up now.
Yeah, that's right.
Andrew, how long have you been here, Andrew, at NYRA?
Anthony, believe it or not, January 1st will start my 27th year. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
27 years. I can't believe it myself.
I knew it was over 20 because you and I used to hang out and talk Mets when I was a teenager. So I knew it had to be 20 because I just turned 40 this year. Wow, that's unbelievable. That's
27.
That's crazy.
And you know, Anthony, talking about the Mets for just 1 second, my brother still blames you for the debacle this year. Okay, for back in April, you were hyping up the Mets, and he said, my brother calls me. He says, you better talk to your boy. I said, well, what's the matter? He says he's hyping up the Mets. He just mushed us. I went, oh, you got it.
Penn is rubbing off on him.
A loyal HRN listener.
Oh, goodness.
Well, Andrew, a lot going to be 27 years. A lot has changed around here. You've seen regimes come and go. The one thing that was always pretty constant was that Holiday Fest, and Cigar Mile would be run normally today. And last year, I believe, it changed for the first time. I'll tell you what, I don't quite recall how much of an effect it had last year, but when you look at the three marquee names heading for that Cigar Mile, and we'll kick off what used to be the Holiday Fest card, the Gopher One, the Demoiselle, the Remsen, boy, you got to think moving that race back a week, Sharp Azteca, Practical Joke, Mind Your Biscuits, it's a pretty good pull for the last grade one here for the year.
I happen to agree with you. And then I got to give all credit to Martin Panzer. He was the one who first approached the idea of moving it back a week. And I was a little, obviously, reticent because, you know, I'm a traditionalist, you know. And we looked at it together and we said, well, it's worth a shot being that the game has changed so much, you know, in the last, you know, few years that they need more time in between starts. And we figured, well, what's the harm in moving it back another week if it would get us a couple of the Breeders' Cup horses? And we said, yeah, we'll give it a shot. And you know what? With Churchill having such a big weekend this weekend, which they have a tremendous card, don't get me wrong, why not push it back a week and be the only game in town next week? You know what I mean? And we can lead into the Christmas break, you know? So we thought it was worth the risk, okay? It really couldn't hurt, and it actually worked out. We also got a filly coming out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies in Wonder Godot, okay? That's coming back in the Demoiselle. So we've actually got three or four Breeders' Cup horses to do it. And I don't know if we would have gotten that if we run them this weekend, to be honest with you. And I got to say, it's worked out. It's been a good move, I think. I really do.
And it looks like it's going to be somewhere around the field of 10 for that Cigar Mile, correct?
So in and around 10, we could pick up another one. It might be 11 right now. We're looking at American Eyes for Simon Callahan, Beasley for Mark Henning. Mind Your Biscuits. Todd's going to run Neolithic. Okay. He may also think about Vulcan's Forge. Practical Joke, Seymour Dini, Sharp Azteca, Summer Revolution, Telus of All, and Tom's Ready. So I'm pretty excited about that. It's a pretty eclectic field. You know, it's a nice race.
It's what you want. It's what you want a dirt mile to be. It's Mind Your Biscuits and Tom's Ready stretching out, you know, two horses, especially Mind Your Biscuits, right, two-time Grade One winner, stretching out to the mile to see if he can, you know, get that. And look, it's a sire-making distance. This is these one-turn mile races are very attractive on breeding resumes. And, you know, we talk about how the game has changed. That's really how, you know, it's geared towards that second career now. And this is a very attractive race on a horse's resume.
You're 100% right. Grade One mile races, especially in New York, that's never changed. That's always going to be a stallion-making race. So that's why we've and it's the last one basically of the year. That's why we put together such a stellar field, which I'm pretty excited about it. And looking at the long-term forecast, it looks like the weather's going to hold up. It looks like it's a rain in sight and maybe a high of about 45, 50. So we're happy about that. Yeah.
It's kind of ironic that a stallion making race is named the Cigar.
You're right about that. Yeah, but he's actually the one who was it his first stake win on his streak, I think.
He won an allowance race. Yeah. He won an allowance race here. I remember because I sent my dad to the track to bet on him. I was in high school.
Right.
I said, you got to go bet on this horse for me today. This horse is going to – I was in college, actually. I said, this horse is going to win.
Right.
Billy's running this horse on the dirt. This horse is going to win today. And Devious Course won the Cowden that day. How about that? That's how far back I remember the Cowden. And I made a parlay.
Was that Bond? Devious Course?
That was really Bond.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
I made a nice little parlay.
Right.
My old man shorted me like $300 on the parlay. It was fine, though, because there was plenty of money left. And then the streak began in the old Naira Mile. And back then, Drew, you remember they used to actually have a media relay mile before the Naira. I never took part in it, amazingly, but they used to have a relay mile for the media.
Yeah, we would
remember that,
vaguely,
Drew.
I don't remember that. Yes, yeah. I vaguely remember that. That's right. They did. And do you remember that
was... never took part.
That was the first time Jerry got aboard him, I think, Jerry Bailey, because I think Mike Smith had taken Devil Is Due in that Naira Mile that year, I'm pretty sure.
Correct.
So, pretty interesting. Wow, going back.
That is correct. Yeah, back in 1994.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a
lot of fun.
Well, but so, not just the Cigar next week, though. You talked about the Demoiselle... Wonder Godot, who ran pretty well in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly, she's going to come back. What are we looking at over for the boys in the Remsen?
Well, the Remsen, we should, Anthony, come out maybe about 7 or 8. You get some up and comers. You got Avery Island is coming back for Kieran. Okay, I think Chad's going to run an interesting maiden. Okay, I believe it's Alcatam. Okay, who ran third in his debut on October 25th at Belmont, but I think he's fairly high on that particular horse. Another interesting horse that's coming is Catholic Boy, okay, who ran very, very well. There's another Breeders' Cup horse that I failed to mention,
yep,
coming out of the Breeders' Cup, okay, coming out of the turf. So he's going to be trying the dirt for the first time, which is interesting, okay. Todd's going to run Biblical, okay. John Service has got Tap Rap Strike, and Phil Schoenthal is going to run VIP Code. Now, I did speak to Dale Romans, and he informed me that he's thinking about sending one or two here, but he hasn't finalized that yet. So we're going to get something from Dale, who's actually been very blessed this year with his two-year-olds. He's had a couple of nice winners just recently. So it'd be nice to get him here with a couple. So we're looking about 7 or 8. Yeah.
All right. Well, it should be a fun weekend. This weekend, you got three stakes today, led by the Grade 3 Discovery. Not so much about the stakes, but you know, when you shift the landscape a little bit, you need to fill that void. And you guys have done a great job, and you were aided with filling the void by the new turf course here at the Big A that will run the Forever Together for the first time, the Aqueduct Turf Sprint Championship for the first time. Certainly the latter could not have been run here last year because we did not have the outer turf course to run the sprints. How has that made the job maybe a little easier on the entire racing office? And then, Abel, if you could speak on that, and then how you've been able to, you know, put this race together. I'll tell you what, because it's the first running, you can't get a grade, but that's really a grade two or a grade three dressed up as a listed, you know, down as a listed stakes race today.
You're 100% right, Anthony. The additional turf course has done, it's been a tremendous boost to our program. It's kept horses here longer in the fall. Okay, it's given them more of an opportunity. It gives us another race to use until, obviously, we get the bad weather. So it's been a tremendous boost to our program, and I'm going to be sorry to see it go. just for the simple fact that it's kept more horses here, okay, and given them more opportunities has helped, okay, and you're talking about the shifting of the landscape, the stakes landscape, and looking at races that we needed to use to fill that void from moving the traditional Holiday Fest back another week. We looked at a division that's an up-and-coming division that's going to get a lot of quality. And you know as well as I do, you're an astute horse player and horseman. That turf sprint has become a very, very quality and competitive division, okay? It's a race where if you put a little bit of money, these horses are going to run in those particular spots, okay? And you're right, being that it's the first running, where it's not up for a grade, but you're right, that's a grade two quality type of race. And we were very, very happy with that. And, you know, it really wasn't a lot that went into it. These horses, they run in those races, okay? Wherever there's a turf sprint up, they're going to run. And so we were very, very pleased with the turnout. And the only thing we were missing was Disco Partner, who actually was thinking about running in here. And, that would have been a thrill if we were able to get him. But we were very, very happy with the response that we got from with this race. But it's been very, very good. That additional turf course has really, really helped the program a lot, a lot.
Well, Andrew, you guys do a great job. You continue to do a great job. 26 years going on, his 27th year. Always has time for us here on the Equine Forum. Andrew, thanks for some time this morning. Tell
our
little brother that we're going to be fine next year. we're going to go to the ship next year. We're getting it all done. And
we're going to finish last, okay? All right.
Is that what you want me to do? I'm going to cold water everybody? I'll cold water everybody next year.
Terrible, you got it. You know what I mean? Anyway,
all
we
right,
do
Drew,
that.
Thanks.
We got to keep the faith. All right, Phil.
We got to keep the
gentlemen.
Faith.
Appreciate it.
All right. Andrew Burns, stakes coordinator here at the New York Racing Association. It was next week they'll run the Cigar Mile. It used to be the Naira Mile. It started the legacy and helped turn Cigar into the legend he became of the turf. And speaking of legends of the turf, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
This man, during his lifetime of nearly 90 years, was synonymous with the thoroughbred racing as best as anybody could portray it. He was born in Fredericksburg, Texas, July 30th, 1880. That was the year the Great Hindu was a two-year-old, and a horse named Fonso won the Kentucky Derby over four rivals to earn $3,800. Our subject ran away from home at the age of 13 to become a jockey. He started as an exercise boy but wore silks in a race at the age of 14. That was long before he became a licensed jockey, although he had ridden at the age of 10 at Wild County Fairs in Texas. He never felt he was a good rider, but he had 1,117 recorded mounts and scored with 123 winners, a few of those against the likes of Immortals, Todd Sloan, and Snapper Garrison. He got too heavy to ride by the time he was 19, and therefore he opted for training to get his license at the age of 20 in 1900. He saddled his first winner in 1902, a horse named Guatama, at New Orleans on March 21st. Between 1902 and 1969, he saddled 1,993 winners, including the winners of more than 100 major stakes. His last winner was a four-year-old filly named Heartland, who won Aqueduct's feature by about 8 hours before he died on April 3, 1969. His first stakes winner was Beauclair, who took the Washington Cup at Benning's Racecourse near Washington, D.C. in 1907. He went on to train three Kentucky Derby winners and one Triple Crown winner. The latter was the great Clubfoot Comet Assault in 1946 in the brown and cream silks of the King Ranch. He saddled Bull Venture to win the 1936 Derby at 20-1, and another winner for the King Ranch Middle Ground in 1950. He had a rather unorthodox method of training horses to say the least. Most trainers would not dare use an apprentice rider in a classic race. This man did it twice, in the Derby, and he won both of them. In 1936, when Ira Hanford on Bull Venture daringly fought through very tight quarters to score by a head over Brevity, and in 1950, when then 16-year-old Bill Bullen kept his mount on the rail to save ground the whole trip. He often said the best horse he had ever trained was Grey Lag, and he went on to say that Grey Lag may have been the singular best he had ever seen. He had bought him as a two-year-old from the Wizard of the Turf, John E. Madden, and raced him until three when Harry Sinclair bought him for $60,000, an unheard-of price at the time. Grey Lag raced for Sinclair and then ran Coca Stable from then on. He was reluctant to use superlatives, but he did feel his best horses besides Grey Lag were Saracen and Assault. His greatest loss was not Grey Lag, it was Stymie, who earned nearly $1 million after being claimed for $1,500. He liked to bet on horses and at one time said, quote, "People who like horses like to bet on them. People who don't bet on them don't belong at the racetrack," end of quote. He was elected to the Racing Hall of Fame in 1959 and was honored by the Thoroughbred Club of America in 1961. Even after a heart attack in 1961, he went on to be leading money-winning trainer in New York. At the age of 87 in 1968, he won 49 races, and that year he trained Gallen Bloom, who was juvenile title holder of that year. He was stoop-shouldered, walked with a bit of a shuffle, with his hand always thrust forward as if something of extraordinary interest was to occur just in front of him. This truly great trainer went shuffling off, so to speak, to the great paddock in the sky, April 3rd, 1969, as an octogenarian at the age of 88. He was the man from Texas, Max Hirsch.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
There's so much going on in Lexington in December. The holidays. Want to have a holiday party? Go to Tony's. Basketball. Want to watch this great season of Cats basketball unfold? Go to Tony's Steaks and Seafood. The best food, the best service, the family atmosphere you love. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood, right across from Triangle Park. Visit tonysoflexington.com. And happy holidays.
Power. And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile finishes.
stretch, but keeping chocolate candy at bay. And pioneer of an island, Garrett Gomez, have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including three-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and Classic Placed Bodemeister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop are now weanlings. Look for them at Keeneland in November. Empire Maker's 2018 book is limited to 130 mares.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Top of the stretch. Monomoy Girl shrugged off the challenge of Foxtrot Sally. Leads by 2.5 lengths, turning for home. Queen Mum on the outside is up into second now. Racing for mid-stretch. And Monomoy Girl still clear. Clear by 3. Queen Mum takes over a second. Foxtrot Sally's back into third, farther back. Dark Artist trying to muster up a late rally with Overthinking, but they're way far behind Monomoy Girl. Sharp in victory was she by 5 under the wire. Queen Mum got up for a second. Foxtrot Sally third. She's pretty lucky fourth.
Monomoy Girl, flag fall, but that's all in rags to riches. She'll look to keep her perfect record intact later on this afternoon down at Churchill in the Goldenrod. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for Mike Penna, joined as always by the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. Monomoy Girl's trainer, Brad Cox, leading trainer down at Churchill for this fall meet, has the 8-5 morning line favorite in Monomoy Girl in the Goldenrod. He also has High North, a bit of a long shot, in the KJC, in both two-year-old stakes races down at Churchill today. Hey, Brad, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning.
Hey, Anthony and Jude. How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Let's start with Monomoy Girl, Brad. Actually, let's start with the meet. Fantastic meet down there, winning over 25%. Looks like you're going to wrap up a training title down there. It's got to be a good feeling, especially with a little bit of an exclamation point with Monomoy Girl in this Goldenrod today.
Well, you know, we've had a good meet. We haven't quite wrapped anything up yet. We've got one of the best trainers of all time chasing us. So, we like where we are, and you know, hopefully, you know, things can work out this weekend. But it's been a great meet. We like Churchill. It's our home track. We point for this meet in the spring and September as well. So, it's been very, very good meet, and hopefully we can, finish it off this weekend. We got two nice juveniles running stakes, a couple other horses running, maidens running today that we like as well. But, Monomoy Girl, she stepped up to the plate every time, and hopefully she continues to do it today. First time, two turns on the dirt. You don't think it'll be a problem with the two-turn experience she has on the turf, and then the one-turn mile race she had here at Churchill over the track. So she's doing well. We're excited about her, and hopefully she can get the job done.
Her speed figures were so much higher on her speed figure on the dirt was so much higher than the two turf races. Do you think she might actually be better on the dirt?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And, you know, we had talked about running her in the Chelsea Flower the end of October. And as deep as that race come up, you know, I talked with the owners, and I said, look, give her a shot here on the dirt. Her two works going into that race, into the Rags to Riches, were really, really nice works. She galloped out tremendous, and yeah, me and my assistant, both Saturday mornings watching her breeze, are like, this really could be all right on the dirt. You know, you never know until you, you know, they run in the afternoon, but she did. You know, really move forward off that second win here at Churchill. When she won the first level allowance, she just really, really woke up and just took off on the dirt. But you know, she's a big, strong filly. She has speed, and she can. So far, she going long, and you know that's the recipe lots of times to a good horse.
Brad, what made you turf a first time out?
You know, to be honest, she was a little slow out of the gate, and it wasn't so much running her on the turf; it was just running her long. And if you go back and watch her first race, I mean, you know, we just had a lot of trouble getting her out of the gate early on in the spring and summer. She was prepping at Ellis, training at Ellis Park leading into her first race. And we just, you know, she just wasn't able to come out of the gate that fast. And I thought, you know, if I sprint her, she's going to get left 10. So I thought, you know what, let's just run her long. And at the time, there were no route races on the dirt, or they wouldn't go. Going long on the dirt, so we thought, you know what, let's just run her long on the turf. That way she can break and, you know, at least be in contention or somewhat with the field. And it worked out well. You know, if you go back and watch her first race, she didn't break all that great. And that's about how she broke in the morning. Worked with her a little bit in the gate. She started catching on, and Florence done a good job of bouncing her out of there and putting her in the game.
Yeah, that was really brilliant, because a lot of times turf races are run that way, slow early and fast late. And mm-hmm. she really was impressive that day. And then the next race, she obviously caught on to the gate thing. She went wire to wire. So you don't even have to worry about her, where she's going to be or whatever, I would think. I mean, she seems like she can do it all.
Yeah, I mean, we on the dirt, you know, we want to be somewhat forwardly placed without a doubt. You know, that's if she's on the lead, you know, we're okay with that, just as long as it's controlled and, you know, nice, easy pace, and hopefully she has something to finish with. We expect her to have something to finish with. But, you know, she, like I said, she's coming into this race really well. Her work 2 weeks ago was really good. Her work last week was good. It was compromised a little bit by the wind. There was a good breeze last weekend, a good wind, headwind at Churchill last weekend. But it was a good work. When she got around the turn, she just actually rebroke getting around the turn and galloped out amazing. So she's coming into this race in great shape. We're excited about her. She schooled well yesterday. She really seems to be on top of her game. So hopefully she can make it 4-for-4.
I'll tell you, you must have looked like a real genius too when you wanted to try on the dirt. They wound up canceling at Belmont that day. The Chelsea Flower was actually moved a week. So you guys would have been stuck sitting on your hands for a week. And instead, I mean, you know, like Jude said, she really figured that gate thing out, because not only did she break well on the turf, you know, and that race unfolded a lot slower than the dirt race did. I mean, she ran that proverbial hole in the wind last time. And that field, Brad, and the Rags to Riches on paper, wasn't a bunch of slouches in there. There were some nice fillies in there.
Yeah, it looked like a good group of fillies that made up the race, just like today. It's like another good group of fillies, all, you know, trying to, you know, increase their value with that Grade Two win, but Grade Two victory. But she, you know, like I said, I mean, she's doing well. We feel like we've got her where we need her to be, and hopefully she shows up.
All right, we're talking with trainer Brad Cox. He has the 8-5 morning line favorite, Monomoy Girl, in the Golden Rod later on today down at Churchill Downs. He also has a bit of a long shot in High North in the Grade Two Kentucky Jockey Club. It'll go as race number 11 beneath the Twin Spires today. First time Lasix today off the maiden win, Brett.
Yeah, we decided to give him some. They were, you know, trying to make him a Grade Two winner. Obviously, It's a nice colt. We think a lot of him. We took him up to Saratoga this summer, running a really good maiden race, we thought. Obviously, looks like the champion, future champion two-year-old was second in that maiden race. And this is a nice colt. We think a lot of him. Thought a lot of him since we've had him. We actually had his half-sister, Benner Island. She ended up winning the Eight Bells and was third in the Acorn earlier this year. But two totally different type of horses. She was not a real big, strong filly. She was, you know, small and this is a big, strong colt. Acts like he wants to go two turns. I thought he ran an excellent race at Keeneland. I'm honestly have no clue why he's 30-1 today. Yeah, I mean, broke from the 12 hole, was asked, put into the race, running the, you know, set some solid fractions and finished well and held off a couple decent horses. So, you know, I think he's a very, very nice colt, big, strong horse. And I think he'll show up today. Corey obviously rode him and has worked him since and thinks a lot of him. So I think he's got a big shot.
The Belmont maiden race you was second in has turned into a pretty big key race. Biblical was third. He came back to win. Avery Island came back to win for Kieran McLaughlin. He's going to be one of the favorites next weekend in the Remsen. And then, of course, you flattered the form with that maiden win last out. Post 12 that day, a little post relief today. I'm with you. I don't know why he's that big a number on the morning line. Like Jude always says, Baffert always told him the midnight lutes want to go long. And, boy, I'll tell you, his pedigree, they ain't going to ride him long enough for him.
Yeah, he should handle two turns, and also we have the filly today and the Goldenrod as well, along with Monomoy Girl. Is Kelly Jumer, she's another midnight loot, so and she's handled two turns. She was second here in the Pocahontas back in September. So yeah, he's obviously a very, very nice sire, and we've had a good year with him so far.
Yeah, Bob said if he didn't have a breathing problem, he would have been a tremendous distance horse, but he was able to overcome that and sprint it all the time. But I always keep right. that in mind when I'm handicapping, because a lot of times people ignore him. They think, oh, he's by a sprinter, he's not going to stretch out, but they stretch out pretty nicely. And yeah, your horse 30-1 on the morning line. Charlie Whittingham once gave me $300 and said, will you go bet $100 across the board on my horse? It was a first-time starter at Santa Anita. I said, do you like the horse, Charlie? He goes, no, but I'm betting out of respect for the trainer. So you've won 175 races this year, so it might be a good idea to bet out of respect for the trainer.
Well, I hope it's the case, and I hope it pays off more than anything.
You're all over the place today. You got Dowsers Beach here in the inaugural Aqueduct Turf Sprint Championship. You had a fantastic Saratoga meet. It's really just been top to bottom a real successful year over at Brad Cox Racing.
Yeah, things have been great this year. We've been in New York the last couple of years, but we were starting to do more up there. We really like it. It's been rewarding. Belmont, Saratoga, and now Aqueduct. So we're trying to support the program up there. Obviously, we'll have to bring our turf horses out of there over the next month, but we're gonna have some dirt horses at Aqueduct all winter, so we're excited about that with great purses, and we just want to have a presence up there year round. And then we'll be obviously involved at Oaklawn and Fairgrounds this winter after this Churchill meet's closed. So it's been a great year, but we're just ready to start working on 2018 and try to do make things bigger and better for next year.
All right. Well, when you come up to check on the New York string, come on into Long Shots and say hello. You can't miss me.
All right, sounds good.
I'm the only 400-pound guy with a headphone in here. Okay. I'm the only 400-pound guy with a headset on here. I promise.
There you go.
All right, Brad. Well, thanks for some time. I know you're busy. You still got a couple of sets to get out. Good luck this afternoon around the country, but especially with Monomoy Girl down in that Goldenrod.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Brad Cox, and like all of our guests, Brad will get some apparel from Embrace the Race. Andrew will as well. Embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Big year for that Brad Cox barn, Jude.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Fantastic year, and I'm happy to say that I caught on early to his talent and ability, and his horses have been running super all year long. Yeah, always have to respect them. I think he's very thoughtful in his placement of his horses, and if he's got them in there, they're to perform well.
Yeah, that's well put. They're in the right spot. They're not normally in over their head. You got to pay close attention if he starts to step a horse up, because that means he's seen something that certainly some trainers will just run a horse in the stakes That's not him. If they're in there, they're live as can be. Like you said, you caught on early. Lucky for you, you caught on early, because you can't get much of a price on Brad Cox anymore.
No. Cat's out of the bag.
Cat's out of the bag.
The mustard's off the coney, as Chick Hearn used to say.
Well, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll kick off hour number two with my man, Rajiv Miraj. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce the brilliantly talented American Freedom for the 2018 breeding season. The last top son of the great sire of sires pulpit, American Freedom was a sensational graded stakes winner, defeating all three classic winners of his generation, while besting the great Gunrunner both times they met. His Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, said, quote, American Freedom was a freak. He had more natural talent than most Grade 1 winners I've trained. Airdrie Stud's newest sensation, American Freedom. Think about it.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the top of the lane. Teddy's Promise on the inside. Groupie Dollar's right there. Dance Card the Grey on the outside. Sweet Lulu tries to hang tough along the inside as well. Groupie Doll hanging on. Judy the Beauty's come back at them as well. And Dance Card on the outside. But it's Groupie Doll. Groupie Doll, Dance Card, Judy the Beauty going to hit it together. Groupie Doll along the inside. Groupie Doll, Judy the Beauty. Groupie Doll in a thriller. Groupie Doll meets Judy the Beauty. Dance Card was third. Summer Applause running on late to be in a photo with Sweet Lulu for fourth.
Groupie Doll's second Breeders' Cup filly in there. Sprint win back in 2013. Rajiv Mirage was there for both of them. He'll come up right around 9 o'clock here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A. I'm sitting in for the Baron, Mike Penna, Jude Feld, alongside, as always. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, Jude, especially here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, our official charity is the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. You hear the Baron doing the PSAs and the ads throughout the day, how, you know, these guys and gals, they get a leg up and, you know, you don't know what's going to happen once they spring the latch. You know, unfortunately, week after week, you see a spill, you see a jock get dismounted. And for what Rajiv went through to not only get back to where he's gotten now and winning races in Grade Ones, but just to come back, period, is a testament to how tough. You know, you don't want to clump them all in together, but, I mean, these guys and gals, they're just they're the toughest, period. They're the toughest athletes around, period.
Yeah, yeah, pound for pound, absolutely, there's no question. And it's not just the physical stuff. The physical stuff is hard for everybody that has, you know, a big injury, whether you get in a car accident or riding racehorses or whatever, but it's the mental aspect. And for so many of these riders, they are so enamored, and I think you almost have to be, so enamored with what they do for a living that it is really a mental struggle to not be able to do that. You know, anybody that's had a job that they absolutely love can, you know, think about what it would be like if you weren't able to do that job anymore. And even if you maybe know that it's only temporary, that eventually you're going to get back, the fact that you can't do what you love when you're so used to doing it every day is mentally taxing. And you have to be a really special person to overcome that, especially if it's like a 2-year rehab situation like Rajiv's was. I mean, he was in tremendous pain, but the physical pain was outstretched by the mental anguish of not being able to get on horses, not be able to, you know, be in the jocks room with his friends, do the things that he loves to do. And even though he knew in his heart he was going to do everything in his power to get back, you still don't know in the end if you're going to be able to do it to the level that you're accustomed to doing it, you know, day in, day out. So there's so many things to overcome.
And plenty haven't been able to do it.
Right, right. So, you know, it's your whole life basically is hanging in the balance. And, you know, because we're close to Rajiv, we know the ups and downs and the things that he went through. I mean, I was at dinner with him one night in Florida, and he was just in tremendous pain. But, you know, still laughing, joking, telling Jamaican stories, you know. But every once in a while, he'd wince, and your heart would just drop, you know, because you didn't want to see him like that. And, you know, he's an exceptional human being, and he certainly you know, had the fortitude to stick to his task, and sometimes it was two steps forward, one step back, and he'd get frustrated, and like anybody would. But he seemed to maintain his personality through it most of the time, and that was a sign that, you know, eventually he was going to be able to overcome this. But a lot of struggles for that extended period of time.
You know, he was getting a little bored too. He actually came and did some work with us and hung out with us for a little while. He did that Dubai World Cup show.
Yeah, that was a good thing for him. I think it gave him
absolutely
some way to be involved in racing, even though it wasn't on the back of a horse. He got to talk about his experiences in Dubai, about, you know, what it's like to ride horses in big races and that kind of thing. And I think it really kind of pumped him up a little bit. I believe it was one of, or maybe the first time he'd been back to the racetrack in a long, long time. And it was cool to participate in that. And I was glad that he agreed to do it, because I think it was a good thing for him. But yeah, that's, I mean, you know, so many times you have these situations where it's going to take a long time to get well and to get right. And there were times when I thought to myself, I don't know if he's ever going to make it back. I mean, he was in such pain, and he had brace on and this and that. And I go, and why does he want to do this? Why does he want to go through it? And once, you know, we had a few conversations, and I really, for the first time in my life, fully understood what that joy of riding races means to some of these riders. It was perfectly clear to me. I mean, it's just something that you adore, and you don't want to let it go.
You know, you don't want to like make it a cliche, but remember in one of the Rocky movies, Mickey's yelling at Rocky, "What's this can't? There ain't no can't." And legitimately, until I saw Rajiv do what he did and come back, I was never a believer of there ain't no can't. I've seen plenty of can't in my life. That guy, there's no can't in Rajiv Mirage's life. I think that's the best way to put it. He refused to give up and succumb to it. And to see his success, and it's just, like you said, we are very close to him, but it's just remarkable to see what he went through and how he did it, and looking forward to, in just a couple of minutes, catching up with my man Rajiv Miraj. First hour in the books, fun hour, second hour coming up. But right now, we're going to pause 10 seconds for station ID. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bolt Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
She's trying to squeeze through a slim opening here, and through the eye of a needle, here she comes. And a late has charged through to take the lead, and she is taking off for the wire. Leaving the others behind, a late dominates the Beldame.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Gervin in the center of the track. McCracken by two. Practical Joke and Gervin are both coming. Gervin on the outside. Here comes Gervin. And Gervin gets up to win by a nostril over McCracken in a thrilling Haskell.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Welcome to hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron, Mike Penna. I am at Long Shots and Aqueduct down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. It's the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and our producer, Lee Della Pina. Thanks to Andrew Burns and Brad Cox for joining us on hour one. A little later on in the program, Dallas Stewart, who upset the Clark with Seeking the Soul yesterday, is going to join us. Trainer Phil D'Amato, who has runners in almost all of the half a dozen stakes at closing weekend at Del Mar, will join the program as well. But right now, earlier this week, he was named the JockeyTalk360.com Comeback Jockey of the Year. Nice enough to join us now on the program is my main man, one of the leading riders in New York, Rajiv Miraj. Rajiv, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning.
Good morning, guys.
First off, well-deserved and congratulations. This must mean a whole lot to you.
It definitely means a lot, and it feels very rewarding to be in this position to get this award. It kind of validates all the work and everything that it put into coming back, making the comeback.
When we were getting ready for your appearance on the show here a few minutes ago, we were talking about all the struggles that you had and the tough rehab that you went through, but it was more of the mental stuff that was the hard part. I mean, I know the rehab was really tough, but for you, just trying to stay focused and believe in yourself, that was pretty hard, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was pretty hard. And I think, like, if I went through all that and then came back and I didn't get the opportunities to do good or didn't have any success, it would feel like all that wasn't worth it. But so I'm very thankful that I've had the opportunities and able to, you know, to win races and be able to get the success to get this award. And it makes it all feel worth it now.
It's been a little over a year, if my math is right, since you came back, and then it took you a few weeks to get your first winner. If I'm not mistaken, it was for Jeremiah Engelhart here at Aqueduct. Was that like a huge sigh of relief just to be like, okay, back in the winner's circle, this is what this feels like again? Was that a big catalyst in getting you running on what really, Raj, I mean, 2017 has been a pretty good year for you.
Yeah, it's always good to win races, but when you haven't ridden like I for over a year and a half and haven't been in the winner's circle for such a long time, it's definitely, it feels like getting a monkey off the back. Obviously, in this occupation, if you don't win for a week, it seems like you're in a slump. So not winning for almost 2 years and then winning a race, it's a big sigh of relief, and it really feels good.
It was a very emotional victory for me. I remember jumping up and down in my living room. I'm sure the neighbors appreciated that, yelling for you. And it was so cool. But talk about, like, when you first came back and the fact that it took you 3 weeks. I know some of the horses you were riding weren't the best mounts in the world. I think everybody was trying to see, if you were going to be able to come back. But talk about the adjustment to riding again after being off for 2 years. I mean, that's a long layoff for anybody to quit doing something and then, start up again. Talk about that part of it.
Personally, for me, I felt pretty confident in what I was doing and pretty comfortable. I know the statistic didn't show it because it took me a little while to win races, but I think that was also had to do with the horses I was riding. Maybe in a couple situations, if I was in my prime, I would have made the difference in certain situations, but I, going back and looking at it, but naturally I felt pretty good. I didn't feel like I would come back to ride if I wasn't confident and feeling good. That's why it took me so long. If it's not that I couldn't jump back in and ride before I started, but I wanted to be in a good state of mind and confidence. And so I didn't feel like it'd take me that long to get back in the groove. And I think that if I had some better opportunities, I could have won races before. But, everything comes with time. And I understand there's a lot of money on the line, so people don't want to put me in with a doubt in their minds. So, and going back to saying all that, it makes me even appreciate the people that gave me the opportunities in the beginning even more, because not everyone wants to go out there on the limb for you. So those people are always extra special to me.
Obviously, as much of a toll as it takes to ride a racehorse, I don't think anybody expected you to be 100% right away. And admit it, you've said this to me. You felt like it showed that there was some rust. Was there a point when you got back from riding a race and you said to yourself, okay, I'm back, this is where I want to be? When did you get to that point? How long did it take for you to get back to that point where you were like, okay, now I'm back. I feel like as confident as I've ever felt on a racehorse. Was that right away or did that take some time?
That was the first day I rode. The first horse I rode, I'm like, yeah.
It was.
I felt good. I'm back. I'm ready to ride. I felt like I would ride, if I had the right horses, I'd be able to win races right away.
Because I remember talking to you right when you first started getting back on horses. And I can vouch for this. Mentally, you were more than ready to start getting back on horses. I know as soon as you got, and I knew it wouldn't be long, once you got your first leg up to get on a horse in the morning, you weren't going to be getting on horses for 5 or 6 months. You were getting back. You were going to be race riding sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but the physical part was tougher. When I first got back, the physical part took a while. At first, I had no balance. I didn't feel very effective in the saddle, and that took a while to get back. But I was always in a, mentally thinking that the race would be easier to ride once my physicality caught up.
You got everything back right now. You got so much Twitter love for Small Bear yesterday. you know, and that was for Englehart too. Was that a little bit extra special?
Yes, it was a special moment because it's always great to win a stake race, and the horse ran such an amazing race with a strong finish, and it seems like it's an anniversary. Like, it's probably very close to the date that I won my
very,
first race.
I was going
to
say very close, yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah, that's a very special moment.
You know, I think with fans too, and what people in the sport forget that aren't, you know, it's no secret that you and I are pretty good friends. And when I say that, because I get a lot of flack for defending you sometimes. just kidding, Rash. For me, you know, and again, it's a little bit different. But for me, it really like kind of hit home at your birthday this year, when we were talking about how, you know, we had a blast as usual, and we talked about how you always celebrate your birthday, and then you paused and you said, well, almost every year. And of course, you were referring to a couple of years ago when you could not celebrate your birthday the way Rajiv Mirage celebrates his birthday every year. So I think the fans kind of lose sight of you're not only fighting to get back to do what you love, but just your everyday life, like anybody else who gets injured. You know, you're dealing with a twofold. You're fighting to get back to a physically demanding job, but you just want to live your life. You couldn't tie your own shoes for months.
Yeah, that's the thing. This injury was a very serious one, and the first phases through my injury, it wasn't even about horse racing or if I would be able to ride again. It was if I was going to be able to have a quality of life, like being able to, you know, live pain-free. And it took a long time to get to that point before I could even consider coming back to ride and stuff. So it's just a long road, and I'm just glad that I'm over that.
How much did poker help you while you were on your rehab?
It was something to do. I couldn't do many things that are physical, so it was something that I could enjoy. I guess it helped me in that aspect, but it didn't really play a big part.
What did, Raj? Did you pick up any other? Did you read a lot? Did you watch a lot of TV? What?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of TV, Netflix, I guess. Binge watching shows helped, and my Xbox, I wore that out pretty well. So I learned a lot of moves in FIFA, playing a lot of Xbox.
Well, you had some pretty good moves on the dance floor at the birthday party this year. Not that I didn't.
Not as good as you. You took the cake. In case you guys don't know that, you know, Anthony is a pretty good dancer. He knows how to cut the rug.
My man. That's my man right there. So what's next? What are you doing for the winter?
I will be staying in Aqueduct for the winter. That's the plan.
Good, beautiful. Happy to hear. Selfishly, I'm very happy to hear that. I like having you around in the winter.
It's always a tough decision when you get to this point, if you go to Florida, sure, or stay in Aqueduct. But I think business is definitely leading me to Aqueduct. It's actually pretty lopsided this year, so it's not really that tough of a decision.
Business is taking you to Del Mar tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that. Some sunshine.
That filly's okay. I forget the name of the race she won up at Saratoga, but you gave her a brilliant ride at Saratoga. You beat the big favorite On Leave that day, and then she was second last time out, Thundering Sky for George Weaver. She trying for that grade one tomorrow in the Matriarch.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Obviously, she's been running good the last couple of races, so when horses are running that good, you expect a good performance. So going out there with, you know, being very optimistic that we can do some good.
Well, You feel like now, after all the success, I mean, of course, I'm sure By the Moon was very special as well, getting back to a grade one win, especially after Saratoga, after missing the meet for so many years.
Yeah. Look, it's so hard when you take things into perspective of just winning a grade one race at any point in your career. But to win a grade one race at Saratoga after coming back from the hiatus that I was on and stuff, it's just, like, super special for me. And it's moments that, like I say, that validate everything that I put into coming back. So it makes me really happy and gives me extra confidence going forward that it could happen more often, hopefully, with more grade one races.
All right, well, Raj, thanks for some time this morning. We'll let you get ready for the day. Congratulations on everything. Well-deserved comeback jockey of the year, and a great way to build for 2018. You'll be staying here at Aqueduct, so that'll be good. You'll be it'll be a tough colony here this winter. There'll be some good race riders here this winter, as there always are.
Yeah, it's very tough, you know, lots of top riders. It's the toughest colony, I believe. You know, it's hard to find a colony with as much quality and depth as we have here in New York.
Yeah, good colony, and just got better what Rajiv's saying. He's going to stay here in New York this winter. All right, Raj, go get him today.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck this weekend.
Thank
good luck
you.
At Del Mar. Thanks
have
for some
day.
Time this morning. All right, buddy. One and only. Rajiv Mirage, like all our guests, Rajiv will get some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. I like the way he played down the whole poker thing. Yeah, not that much. All right.
Well, you know, I think from an outside looking in, it kept his competitive juices flowing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He's a competitor. I mean, he's a competitor on the racetrack and – and he's a competitor when he plays cards. And, you know, I think it was one of the things that, you know, he I know it's not really a sport. I mean, I know it's on ESPN sometimes, but it's not really a sport. But I think it was enough of a sport that he was able to, you know, compete. And for as long as he could sit in one spot, just tough. Just tough thinking about the physical pain that he had to go through, but I think he kept his mind off of that too a little bit. So
the camaraderie too.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to play with him on Monday night. We have, you know, it's a good crew. It's a lot of racetrack guys. It's some of his friends from outside of the racetrack. So it's just a nice little support group to have. And they're interesting. His wife Angie cooks for us, and which can be a very daunting task, especially if me and Dave Canizzo show up. A lot of Jamaican food needs to be cooked for me and Canizzo if we're both in the same room. So, but yeah, no, it was.
And she's a great lady too, huh? She was so helpful to him the whole time. So.
Yeah, she was. I was in the paddock. I was in the winner's circle for us, for the network, Travers Day, when By the Moon won the Ballerina, and her and a couple of her girlfriends came down, and she was crying, and she gave me a big hug, and she was, you know. The emotion, and you know, she tried to really pull it together for Raj, but she was as emotional as can be, and you can only imagine after everything that she watched her husband go through, how that felt for her, and they were just it was a touching moment when she went and grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him. It was really nice, and was nice that they were able to share that together up in Saratoga. And look, he's my buddy. But you know me, I can be as critical as they come. It took him a while in my eyes to really knock that rust off. But right around the time the day started getting longer in March and April, you could see that the rust was gone. He was getting back, and he really caught stride midsummer. And he's really built upon some of the foundation he laid this summer. And he's having a fantastic second half, and he should have a really good winter here in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's arguably going to be the best rider there. So,
all right. You can catch Rajiv tomorrow out of Del Mar Thundering Sky in the Matriarch. Right now, it's time for the Blood Horse News Update. We'll look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Actress puts on show in Cumley Stakes. After failing to earn a placing in a pair of Grade 1 tries, actress thrived on some class relief November 24th in the $250,000 Grade 3 Cumley Stakes at Aqueduct Racetrack. In Friday's race for three-year-old fillies, Gary and Mary West homebred actress put away Miss Sky Warrior coming off the turn of the mile on an 8th test and drew off to an 8.25 length score. The easy win snapped the three-race skid for the daughter of Tappet, dating back to her maiden victory in the Grade 2 Black-Eyed Susan Stakes May 19th at Pimlico Racecourse. Tappet homebreds registered a 1-2 finish as Phipps Stables Parade in her stakes debut rallied to just edge favorite and multiple Grade 2 winner Miss Sky Warrior for second. Actress completed the race in 1:52.3, leaving trainer Jason Service satisfied about his decision to add blinkers. I thought she ran super with putting on the blinkers. That is always satisfying because sometimes you try something and another thing happens, Service said. We felt the blinkers would help her, just kind of saving them for an ace in the hole. It was nice to get a win with Jose Ortiz, too. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Blood Horse Daily. You can have the latest racing, breeding, industry news, analysis, entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app. It's updated throughout the day or can be delivered to you daily in an email. Both are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up today. Boy, talk about a guy that's had a good year, huh? Jason Service, normally considered a claiming trainer, some allowance horses, really stepped up with a ton of stakes wins this year, led by this Philly actress and, of course, Ferenz Fire, who won the Grade 1 Champagne Jew.
Yeah, he's had a fantastic year and richly deserved. He's been doing a great job for many, many years with the claiming horses, and eventually people start coming around, and if you can just shake that tag of claiming trainer and you get some nice young horses and maybe a couple ready-mades along the way, you can really take off.
Well, another guy that's had a pretty fantastic year, he's had an amazing November, is Dallas Stewart, and he will join the program next to talk about his upset of the Clark yesterday with Seeking the Soul, amongst other things. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
We've watched him develop into a racehorse.
Into Mischief wins the cup, Corbutelli.
Into a sire.
Golden Sensei, scintillating performance.
It is Practical Joke in the Ellen Jerkins.
Into a leader. The leading two-year-old and three-year-old sire of 2017. Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Oh my goodness, look at
robbed in the Met Mile.
Frosted annihilated his competition in the 2016 renewal of the Grade 1 Met Mile. His 14 and a quarter length win resulted in a new stakes record of, how about this, 132.73, and his 123 buyer speed figure is the highest since 2007 and the fastest ever at a mile. That scintillating victory makes Frosted your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. A multiple Grade 1 winning son of champion sire Tappet, Frosted earned more than $3.1 million and is a graded stakes winner in both the United States and Dubai. A winner of the Grade 1 Wood Memorial at 3 and historic Whitney Stakes at 4, Frosted is Tappet's leading money earner in North America. Learn more about Frosted and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Opportunity with a blitz on the far turn comes five wide by the quarter pole. Top of the stretch, Diversify set down for the stretch drive, holding on to a tenuous lead. Seeking the Soulmate, a big move off the turn, angles off the rail, and over the top, here comes Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan is closing fast. Diversify seeking the Soul. Good Samaritan, Opportunity is also right there. 100 yards to go. Seeking the Soul comes away with the lead. A final try from Good Samaritan. Seeking the Soul has won the Clark. Half length on the wire. Good Samaritan, good effort to be second. Opportunity was third, and Diversify was fourth.
Travis Stone on the call of the Clark. Thanksgiving weekend staple down at Churchill Downs. Seeking the Soul, upset at 7-1, holds off Good Samaritan and Opportunity. Even survived an inquiry. Jockey's objection. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. The Big A sitting in for the Baron. Jude Fell joining me on this sensational Saturday morning. I'll tell you what, sensational, Jude's a word we can describe the November for our next guest, Dallas Stewart, trainer of Seeking the Soul. Started off the month with a bang in the Breeders' Cup Distaff with Forever Unbridled and puts a nice little cap on the month with Seeking the Soul in the Clark. Dallas, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time today.
Hey, thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
Big run out of Seeking the Soul yesterday. A horse who had just went through his lounge conditions prior to this, tried him in a couple of stakes. Was that last win at Keeneland the icing on the cake to really give him a try against these Grade 1 foes yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, he broke the track record over Keeneland. He did it quite nicely. Of course, like you said, it was an allowance race, but, I mean, he ran really fast. So we were just hoping that he'd bring that A game over to Churchill. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, but he did. And I thought he ran a really terrific race yesterday and fought hard and you know, ran like a true racehorse.
I read last night that you were thinking somewhat of running him in the Breeders' Cup Classic after that race. Was that just for the press, or were you really thinking that?
No, really. I mean, I was trying to convince him to do it. I told him if I owned it, I'd do it. But I thought I had him, but they didn't go for it.
Well, you and I had talked earlier about running Forever Unbridled in the Classic, and of course the move you made was the right one, obviously. But now she's headed to the Pegasus. Are you going to have two Pegasus horses now?
I'm trying to convince him of that also. I think it's the right move. We'll see.
That would be great.
Yeah, this horse.
Yes, sir.
This horse is really. Dallas, this horse has really turned the corner. It, you know, I feel like when he got to Belmont this year, he ran a couple. That race going 7/8 was a sneaky good race, and it really seems like since that 7/8 race, he's turned the corner and turned into some kind of racehorse.
Yeah, I mean, I was probably running him a little bit too short. You know, he's looks like he loves going a mile and a 16th, a mile and an 8th, and I think he'll eventually, you know, handle a mile and a quarter. So, He's we found out a few things about him that he really doesn't like to be hit with the stick and, you know, keep him fresh. And he's a very knock on wood sounds horse. He's got a great pedigree. He's in the family of Personal Engine. So,
He's got it all.
Johnny gave him a spectacular ride yesterday, too.
Absolutely.
Was there a point where you could see him turn the corner?
I've always, thought a lot of him. And, he's just the kind of horse that you just, he's just developed over time. And, like I said, he's a very sound horse with a great pedigree. And Mr. 50's always about giving him time and trying. It takes time to figure these horses out now. Don't kid yourself. This is not a job where you just, push a button and things get figured out. It takes time. And, he's the kind of guy, Mr. 50, that gives you the time. And we've been fortunate that way. So I hope we can continue on with that pattern.
And he looks like the kind of horse, too, that's seeking a soul that has not only gotten better with age, but has almost, like you said, you were high on him from day one, but it's almost like he's figured it out this year, for the lack of a better term.
Yeah, he likes winning. He likes a good fight. He's a real tough horse. He's not a real friendly horse. He's kind of a real kind of aggressive type colt type horse. And, he takes that to his, he seems to take that to his races now. That's a good thing.
Yeah, speaking of the fight, got a little dicey at the 16th pull yesterday. Obviously, you're happy with the decision. At any point, were you a little worried about your number getting ripped down?
I mean, I couldn't really see much of it in the running of the race. And then when we got down on the track, you could see where we drifted out slightly. But I thought we were a good length and a half in front. There was no bumping going on. Obviously, I think the stewards made the right call. I could see where they needed to look at it, but there was just no objection that needed to take place. I didn't think we bothered anybody.
Yeah, and the opportunity wasn't going to get to you. They could have gone around again. It never was going to happen.
Yeah, there was no bumping. There was no bumping or anything like that.
You know, it's funny when I watched the race in real time, I was wrapping things up here for the afternoon, and a couple of guys were here watching the race with me, and one guy had bet on Good Samaritan, and I said, I don't think anything's going to happen, but there's going to be an inquiry. And in real time, to me, it looked a lot worse. Like, when I watched the replay the first time, I literally walked out the door. I was like, well, listen, nobody's taking this horse, ain't coming down. I'll call Dallas in the morning. I'll call Dallas in the morning to get him on the show. This horse ain't coming down. You're right. I think at first look, in regular speed, in real time, it looked a whole lot worse than it did once they slowed it down. When it slowed it down, it looked like it was just a bogus call.
We didn't touch the horse or anything. I mean, so it's just one of those things. And I'm glad it worked out the way it did. And nothing, it was no bumping or anything like that, so it was not a dangerous situation.
So what do you do now with him, Dallas? We know Forever and Bridle is being pointed to the Pegasus. Do you work on Mr. Fipke and train this horse like he's going to be going to the Pegasus?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the play right now. There's not a lot left, so we just kind of take him down to New Orleans. He likes to train down there. He's been down there. He's a very healthy horse. He likes New Orleans. So we'll get him down there and train him up and try to get it figured out from there. So I thought it was a big effort. I think he deserves a chance, but we'll see what the boss has to say.
You got to love horses like him, too. Indiana, Parks, Churchill, Keeneland, Fairgrounds, Belmont, Saratoga. Man, he just goes, he runs, he fires his race, and he goes about his business. Nine times last year, eight times now this year. Kind of a throwback where it doesn't seem like the workload bothers him.
Yeah, I mean, we've spaced him out a little bit just because, that's the way the races have laid out. But believe me, he's the type of horse you could run him every week. He's a tough horse. He could handle him. He's a very, very tough guy.
Well, you did a great job with him. How is Forever and Bridle doing?
Yeah, she's doing great. I'm very happy with her. She's here at Churchill. We gave her about, like an easy week after the Breeders' Cup, and then she went right back to work. She hasn't started breezing yet, but she's galloping, full gallops, a mile and a half. She enjoys being out there. She loves to train, so I think it's a good thing for her to do it. So we'll get down to New Orleans with her, and in December we'll start a work pattern with her. We'll give her like seven or eight works before the Pegasus.
Well, I think it's a tribute to you, Dallas, that your horses have careers. They last a long time, and in today's day and age, you don't see that very often. So congratulations on doing that. That's not easy to do sometimes.
You're probably sad to see November go, huh?
Well, we got one more today. We got Give Me a Minute. He's in the Jockey Club today, and he's a two-year-old colt that was fourth in the Breeders' Cup. Ran very well. He's running against some nice horses. I think there's 14 in there. Mr. Murray Valline from New Orleans owns him, so we'll see how he matches up against these guys today.
And then next week, on what I'm sure you wish it was November 32nd, but it's actually December 2nd this year, the Cigar Mile. Tom's already going to look for his first Grade One.
Yeah, he's a very nice horse. It's going to be his last race. We're hoping to cap it off with a Grade One, and he'll be off to Spendthrift to do stud duties for Mr. Hughes.
Yeah, that's a nice little field shaped up. We had Andrew Burns on earlier today. That's a nice little bunch of horses. I'll tell you what, that's a feather in your cap if you can knock that one down.
That's a big race. It's Aztec is in there. Mind Your Biscuits, Practical Joke. I mean, it's going to be a rock 'em sock 'em type race.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on Give Me a Minute this afternoon, and Tom's ready next week. Dallas, thanks for some time this morning. Great job again with Seeking the Soul.
Thank you for everything. Appreciate it.
All right. Dallas Stewart had a heck of a November. Forever Unbridled won the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Seeking a Soul in the Clark yesterday. Just a love having Dallas on the show, dude.
Yeah, he's such a great guy and just excellent trainer. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves. You know, he keeps a smaller stable. He's a hands-on guy. He likes to be with his horses as much as possible. And, of course, he spends the winter in Louisiana, which, nowadays isn't quite as posh as, going to Gulfstream or California or whatever. So he's kind of like, a guy that lays in the weeds, but it's great. I mean, he's so talented, and his horses always run good. And he's another guy that puts them in the right spots. And you know, if he's running a horse in a race, you have to give it serious consideration because he's won lots of big races, and he's not going there for the free lunch. He doesn't have to run in a race just to run in it. And he's got good clients, and they trust him. I can't say enough nice things about Dallas. He is really impressive to me how he handles his business and the kind of person he is. I'm not surprised when he pulls off one of these upsets because, there's been a lot of thought that goes into it. He's not just sitting around going, oh, let's run in there today,
His horses always show up on the big days, too. Golden Soul, second in the 2013 Kentucky Derby. Commanding Curve, second, 2014. You always have these Dallas Stewart, Taylor Verve, finished second to American Pharoah in the Preakness in 2015. They always show up. Dallas Stewart always seems to be getting himself, and, he's always got his hand in the pot in these big races on the big days. And, in the last three or four years, prior to this year, it was always about getting a piece of the pie. Well, this year, these horses are starting to win these big races now, and looks like he'll have two for the Pegasus World Cup on January 27th down at Gulfstream Park. We'll keep an eye on Dallas, and we'll check in with him as we get closer to that Pegasus. Right now, we'll take a break. When we come back, man that has his hand in the pot out in California, Phil D'Amato, he's in almost all the stakes this weekend, closing weekend at Del Mar for the Bing Crosby meet. We'll talk to Phil when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Gulfstream's championship meet begins Saturday, December 2nd with the $1.1 million claiming crown, followed the following Saturday, December 9th by the Caribbean Classic, being held in North America for the first time. The championship meet showcases 18 weekends of world-class racing, highlighted by the world's richest race, the $16 million Pegasus World Cup on January 27th and the 64th running of the Florida Derby on March 31st. With a record $28.6 million in stakes purses, Gulfstream Park is the place to be this winter.
Eclipse Award winner Blaine retired to stud with more than $4.3 million in earnings, including a historic victory over Zenyatta in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Now he's making a name for himself as an internationally successful stallion. In 2017, his top runners include stakes winner No Fault of Mine, Japanese star Resonator, and classic winner Singa, the dominant victor of this year's Grade 1 French Oaks, Lane at Claiborne Farm.
Zest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Zest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Zest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit vestfab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
The 19th running of the $1.1 million Claiming Crown returns to Gulfstream Park on Saturday, December 2nd. Created in 1999 by the National HBPA and TOBA, this year's event has attracted 294 nominations for a program that features nine stakes races, including the $200,000 Claiming Crown Jewel, $125,000 Tierra, and $125,000 Emerald. And with four Claiming Crown champions returning to defend their titles, the day promises to be better than ever. For more information, visit ClaimingCrown.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Coming to the top of the lane now, still wide open. Rock and Rudy on the outside. Rock and Rudy now goes looking for the lead and gets it, and it's Rock and Rudy in front. Whole wall of horses coming to chase now. Pioneer Lad gets away through on the inside. Pioneer Lad is flying down at the rail in the center of the track. Bowie's Hero coming home gamely. Bowie's Hero finishing stoutly, and Bowie's Hero's going to win it. Bowie's Hero won it. Pioneer Lad had to settle for second. Looked like Grecian Fire might have come running on for third.
The opening day feature of the summer meet at Del Mar, the Oceanside. Bowie's Hero took that one down this past summer. For our next guest trainer, Phil D'Amato. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the Baron, Mike Penna, joined by the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. And we go out to California now, and they got three stakes today, three tomorrow at Del Mar, and Phil D'Amato, trainer Phil D'Amato, has his hands on all of them. Phil, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
I got to do one of the more interesting, stranger things I've done in my life. I never worked a Thanksgiving in my life, and I had to call Phil to set this interview up on Thanksgiving. it just felt strange, but hey, listen, this is the, as we say, in my neighborhood especially, this is the life we've chosen. So we work on Thanksgiving. That's just how it works. Right, Phil? Three stakes today. Bowie's Hero, we heard him winning the Oceanside. Is that the first year they ever that they didn't split the Oceanside this year?
I think they, you know, it just depends on how many they have. But I think they go back and forth, you know, a couple of years they'll split it, they'll have enough, and then others, you know, we'll just run one division of it.
Yeah, normally they have 37 for the Oceanside. This year you were able to just have to face 12 others. He ran really well that day, and is a horse that, you know, he has run well in most of his starts, and when he shows up, he's as good as any in this division.
Yeah, he's just a very honest horse. I think he's steadily, if you look at his numbers, he's getting better with age. I think he's going to be a nice miler for us next year. But we're just following the three-year-old series here. He's had a couple good breezes on the turf course and with Kent aboard. And, you know, I think he's ready to go.
Yeah, Kent got to know him a little bit last time, and that should help him a lot today, I think.
Yeah, he got off the horse last time, and he goes, you know, I think if I had known him a little bit better, I'd have squeezed on him a little bit earlier and see what happens, because he just kind of keeps going, keeps kind of finding a little bit. But the good Samurai horse, he's ultra sharp right now, and see if we can turn the tables.
You mentioned Kent. Kent got aboard him last time, and Sharp Samurai, big score, both back in here. They ran 1-2 in both the Del Mar Derby and the Twilight Derby. So do you go back to the drawing board and say to yourself, all right, how am I going to turn the tables on these two horses now? Or do you just hope that Bowie's Hero, like you said, he's just naturally been getting better. Do you just hope that he starts to play a little catch-up, for the lack of a better term, with these horses?
Yeah, I think all of the above. Having Kent aboard and getting to know him first time out there last time, I think helped us a little bit. You know, he's a horse, he's very versatile, and it just kind of, the Samurai horse was just kind of on a dawdling lead there, and it kind of, with the way those fractions were, he wasn't going to stop. So we do probably need a little bit of pace pressure to help us in that situation. But yeah, you know, that's grass racing. Hey, sometimes you find the hole, sometimes you don't, and sometimes you get the pace you want, and sometimes you don't. So that's part of the game. But I know my horse. He's definitely a fit with him, and hopefully we'll get a win.
Earlier on the card today, out at Del Mar, the Native Diver. A bit of a long shot in here, and Wild About Deb. He's a horse. He's eligible for an A other than, but another one of these horses. Last year, he showed up in a couple of graded stakes down at Parks and ran well. I remember in the Peter Pan, he was third in the Peter Pan. I remember if he with a little bit of a better trip, he may have actually gotten a bigger piece of the pie that day. Just trying to get him some more black type in here.
Yeah, we're taking a flyer there. He is one other than eligible. The owner thought, and you know, on paper, I would agree that, you know, all those the really good horses are all coming off of races in the Breeders' Cup, and a lot of times those horses coming off those Breeders' Cup races, they'll kind of flatten out a little bit off of that. But this is a nice horse. He's kind of bounced all around the country and originally started with me. So I've gotten to know him really well. He had a little bit of trouble last time, but yeah, we're hoping for some horses that are going the wrong way. And we're, second off the bench, we're going to take a giant leap forward.
Yeah, he gets, his favorite jockey, Tiago Pereira, back again, and that's a good thing. He seems to have a way with this horse.
Yeah, he really gets to know him well. I think he flew over there to Parks and ran in the Penn Derby, ran third to Gunrunner, and I think Nyquist, some really nice horses. So he on his best day, you know, I think he's a horse that can kind of get in the mix. We're taking a giant stab here, but, you know, I can always run him in the one other than next time.
And then later on, race 9, the Jimmy Durante, a grade 3 for the 2-year-old filly. Sappho broke her maiden last time out. I remember covering that race. That was Thursday of Breeders' Cup week. She really kept coming at those horses on the front end, and she almost had that, like, refuse to lose mentality. She ran really well that day, obviously enough for you to bump her up into this spot, into a grade 3 in her subsequent start.
Yeah, she's a nice filly. She's like a little Porsche. She's not too big, but she's just kind of the right size, and, you know, everything's right there, and I think she's ultra versatile. She can kind of be up close or come from behind, and the most important thing is she's got a nice turn of foot, and I think that's what kind of makes her dangerous. They didn't go too fast in her maiden race, so she kind of closed into no fractions at all and really kicked it in and impressed me. So I think she's going to just kind of gradually keep taking steps forward. Kent's breezed her a couple of times after the race on the grass to kind of get to know her a little bit more as well. And I think all systems go, and it's a nice field, but we'll see where we fit. But I like my filly.
Yeah, she's a nice filly. That those two races in Ireland were excellent, and then she came here and was unlucky to lose her first start in the U.S. Came back and really looked sharp, finishing in her race at Del Mar. Looks like she's going to run as far as they can ride them, and I think the distance is definitely going to be to her advantage.
Yeah, I think so, and I think over there it looks like she was kind of on the bit a little bit watching her races, and here I think Kent's done a really good job of kind of getting her to switch off and on when he wants. So, I mean, to me, I don't think distance is a problem, and just kind of getting her to relax and kick when he wants her to kick, I think that's going to just keep helping her down the road.
Phil, before we let you go, tomorrow in the Sea Biscuit, you're going to cut Hunt back off a series of distance races going back to the mile and a 16th. Jude made a lot of money with this horse this summer. He best bet him on the Weekend Stakes Review Show a couple of times when he won the Eddie Reed and the Del Mar Handicap. Cutting back from an effort in the Breeders' Cup. Do you think the mile, he's been a weird kind of horse. He was good sprinting, good going real long, and now the mile and a 16th, hoping the cutback does him some good?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a horse, at one time last year, I thought we were going to make him a super turf sprinter, you know, and we kind of just gradually stretched him out, and he's an ultra-talented horse. But I think the other day in the Breeders' Cup, not only did I max him out in distance, but I ran him against the best, you know, horses in the world, and I think that was just too much. I think his sweet spot is anywhere between a mile, you know, a mile and an eighth, maybe a mile and a quarter, you know, and he can kick. He last year, he sat back in this race and came with a great run, and I think it was a strong race last year. With Vijack and Ring Weekend, there were some really good horses in there. So I think, you know, he's going to sit back and come with the run. And Pee Wee Reese, who knows? You know, he kind of reminds me a lot of, obviously, he's not as big and strong as he is, but he's got that same style and same ability just to kind of go as fast as he can and keep going. You know, so they're two nice horses. A shame I got to run them in the same race, but. But that's part of the game, and looking forward to running both of them.
Well, it's a good Phil, entry. You got nice, one on the nice lead, one from orders. Behind.
Yeah, no, I like it better like that. When you have two horses that you're going to run in the same race that have different styles, so you know they're not going to hurt each other in a duel scenario, and you know, may the best horse win.
Well, Phil, thanks for some time this morning. Best of luck this weekend as they wrap up Del Mar. We'll talk to you down the line.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, Phil. Phil D'Amato, like all of our guests, Phil will get some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. Before we go to break, we want to tell you that it's time for the KTA-KTOB Spotlight, and the Kentucky Breds continue to make a big impact on the North American racing scene, consistently winning throughout the fall. Since September 1st, Kentucky Breds have won 31 Grade 1 races across the U.S. and Canada, including California, New York, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Canada. That represents 67% of all Grade 1 races run in North America over the past 3 months. And of the 125 graded stakes run in North America during that time, Kentucky Breds won 73 of them, or nearly 60%. At this year's Breeders' Cup held at Del Mar, Kentucky Breds won 8 of the 13 championships, nearly 4 times more than all other states combined. In 4 Breeders' Cup races, Kentucky Breds swept the top 3 spots, the Classic, the Distaff, the Juvenile, and the Juvenile Turf. And it's important to remember that unlike most state bred programs, Kentucky Bred group winners are eligible to receive Breeders' Awards worldwide. It pays to breed and race in Kentucky. One more break. When we come back, Jude and I will wrap this edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adena Spring Stallion Point of Entry. a five-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy. The sire of two-year-old stakes winner Glamination in his first crop, along with the impressive filly Moonlight Rain, who defeated males in her debut. On the racetrack, Point of Entry was the first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight,
and they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
From a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Edina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Tip, tap, Tapazar puts his head in front. And tip, tap, Tapazar has won the sapling.
Performance.
Shari is rallying outside of Tap. They're battling for second. Tap it all. A convincing winner of the California Oaks.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar, an emerging young son of three-time champion sire Tappet, who was once again the leading sire at Keeneland September by gross and average. Tapazar was a runaway winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and hails from the female family of Tappet's champion filly, Untappable. The sire of 42 winners, including 2017 California Oaks heroine Tappet All and TDN Rising Stars, American Pastime, and Mr. Crow. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network as I wrap things up here on a Saturday afternoon. Thanks to all of our guests this morning. Pontiff, a great show this morning.
Yeah, a lot of fun talking to the winners and the hopefuls. So we'll see what happens.
Any big Saturday plans?
Horse racing, UK game at noon. That's about it for the day.
Yeah, I'll be, they've asked me to pinch hit on the on Talking Horses, so I will be wrapping this up and heading down to the Naira Studios.
There so, you go, change of wardrobe and a little makeup, and yeah, off you go.
Absolutely, no makeup. thankfully, I'm not at the I need makeup stage yet. I just got
everybody
just
needs
throw on
makeup.
The jacket and tie. Everybody. I'll throw on the jacket and tie. Yeah, just some more leftovers tonight, which I'm looking forward to. I was a big disappointment on Thursday. So hopefully I can rebound with a big effort tonight.
There you go.
Big, big leftovers effort tonight. Again, thanks to Andrew Burns, Rajiv Miraj, Brad Cox, Dallas Stewart, Phil D'Amato. Boy, we covered a lot of ground this morning, Pontiff.
Yeah, we had a lot of dignitaries.
Baron Mike Penna will be back next week with Jude from Gulfstream Park for the Claiming Crown. Until then, on behalf of everyone here at HRN, Jude, our producer Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. I hope you have a lucky day. I hope you win all of your photo finishes. Jude, you got something you want to say?
Yeah. Good night, Barbados.